So judging by this piece of paper that you're getting, this may seem like this talk is going to be about an hour and a half. But I encourage you to know, a lot of times when I plan out stuff, when I constructed this, I thought about, so I'm talking about quiet times, what do I want to talk about? And I didn't want to give a version of this is how I think you should do a quiet time, or this is why I think you should do a quiet time. I'm a big fan of turning to the Word to understand why we should have quiet times and why we do spend time with God. So like I said, there's a lot of information on here. Don't be deterred. Basically, what I like to say is I like to give the SparkNotes version of it and then tell you to go home and read the actual book. So this is for you as a reference during while I talk, and also for you all to go home in your own time and just explore some of these verses. Today we'll touch upon a few of them. But yeah, that's where we'll go from today. So we'll be talking about this for about 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll actually have a quiet time. So it's exciting. All right, so let me see where we're going to start here. I think the first question when we ask about spending time in God's Word, we have to wonder, before we even wonder what is a quiet time, I think we have to ask ourselves why have a quiet time in the first place. What's so great about it? Why should we do it? And I think we ask a lot of times in life, why do we go to school? Why do we, you know, have families? I think that's one of the questions that first pops into our mind. So the first one here, if you want to turn with me to Philippians 3, 8 through 10. And if somebody would like to read that aloud when they get to it.
Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, because being conformed to his death.
That's great. Yeah, thank you, Jermaine. Man, just looking at these verses sometimes, I think we got to ask ourselves sometimes, how much do we want to know Christ? You know, I think a lot of times we meet people, we have relationships or friends, and we just want to know them so much, all about them. We'll, you know, take time late at night and spend hours and hours talking with them. And just this idea of, you know, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. So I think one of the first things of why I have a quiet time, like it says, to get to know God and develop a relationship with him. I think Dave talked a couple weeks ago about if there was one thing that you could have or wish for, what would it be? And I know that his prayer and hope for all of us was that it would be to know God. The next one, to saturate ourselves with his word on a daily basis. Colossians 3:16 talks about letting the word dwelling in us richly. And I think we, as students, sometimes we look at school and if we want to be a doctor. We study biology and chemistry. We saturate ourselves with the knowledge that we learn from that. And so I think if we want to be a disciple of Christ, if we want to be a follower of Christ, sometimes we have to saturate ourselves with the fullness of knowledge that he gives to us in his word. Turn with me to Romans 12:2. If somebody wants to read that.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will.
Perfect. Yeah. I think this third point here, to develop perspectives on life from God's point of view, you know, a lot of times we view things as how the world views it, you know. We talk about this a lot. We have patterns, you know what I'm saying? We have a standard. The standard is if you want to get an A, you do a certain job on your homework. You do certain ways to perform. But here it talks about no longer conforming to the pattern of this world, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. A lot of times we like to think about God, what is your will for me in this instance? What do you want me to do? And I think a lot of times we come having not transformed our mind. And so I think spending time in God's Word really helps us, like I said, to develop perspectives on life from God's point of view. The fourth one there that I have is to discover principles to help guide our lives. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I was a kid, I went to this place called Great Explorations. I don't know if any of the Tampa Bay area knows what I'm talking about. It's a children's museum. And one of the things that they had there was really cool. It was called the Touch Tunnel. And the Touch Tunnel was this place where it was completely dark. And you go in and you just crawl through this tunnel. It gets narrow. It's wide sometimes. You go up, climb through things. But you can't see what you're doing at all. And it's a little scary and it's a little intimidating. And I remember when I was 5 or 6, my middle name is Cautious, even though it's actually York, but my middle name is Cautious. So I always want to make sure I know what I'm doing before I actually get into something. And so the Touch Tunnel just freaked me out. But I was always able to listen to voices up ahead of me to know, all right, I'm not going to get stuck. I'm not going to get lost. There's somebody on the way, you know. And I think that's how it is with God. I think a lot of times in our lives, though, we like to think that we can provide our own light, you know, metaphorically speaking, that we have our own flashlight. And I think the important thing to realize there sometimes is that just because we have a light and we provide that light sometimes doesn't mean we know where we're going. And I think God has that extra step. He does know where we're going. So we can shine that light in our lives all day and say, you know what, I'm going to light my own path. But to be honest with you, I don't know where I'm going. I know a lot of you don't know where you're going, but God does. There's a small booklet. I was going to bring it, but I forgot it. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. Just thinking about why we have a quiet time in the first place. And for those of you probably familiar with it, but for those of you that aren't, basically there's a person in the story, and we'll call him Chris. And Chris has a home, and he's chilling in his home. And Jesus knocks at the door one day, you know, Revelation 3:20. And so Chris opens the door, and metaphorically speaking, Chris invites Jesus into his house or his heart. The house is a metaphor for the heart. And, you know, Chris shows Jesus around all the rooms. Hey, this is some room. Some rooms Jesus is pleased to see. In other rooms, I'm kind of embarrassed to show him areas that perhaps I didn't want him to see or things I didn't want him to see. And so as I'm leading through this house, we come to this place by the fire. By the fireplace, and Jesus says, you know, I'd like to meet with you every day here. And for the first couple days, Chris is very ecstatic. He's excited to meet with Jesus, and he's coming down every morning and meeting with him and having a good time. And then a couple days later, Chris, you know, wakes up a little later and is a little more tired, and Chris gets busy, and Chris really does get busy a lot. And Chris gets so busy to the point where he's heading out the door, you know, into the real world. And there's Jesus sitting on, you know, the couch by the fireplace. Oh, hey, Jesus, how's it going? I'll talk to you later. Got to run. And, you know, this repeats. And Chris means well and wants to spend time with the Lord, but doesn't necessarily do that. But the thing about that that's very interesting, and I think that's so great about what God offers us when we spend time with Him in His Word, is that every time that Chris walks by and sees Jesus sitting there, Jesus hasn't moved. Jesus is waiting for you. He didn't give up on you and say, you know what, if you're not going to be real about this, I'm not going to be real about this either. I'm just going to, you know, peace out. Jesus is waiting there for us. I think that's a great thing, is that amidst all of our times where we just tend to just walk on by because we're too busy or things like that, Jesus is still waiting there. So when we think about why we have a quiet time, I think these are some good points to think of. But I think the next question we have to ask ourselves then is, how does one have a quiet time? Many of you probably have a pattern or a mold. This is just a very basic one. This is not how you do it specifically. There's no specific way. Your relationship with God is different than my relationship with God and everybody else's, and it varies. But the first thing I have is what will you need? When I first came to NABS, I didn't really spend time in the Bible daily. I didn't really understand what that meant. And Kyle Kozlowski, who's an alumni here, who's over at UF right now. But he was on staff for a while. But you know, he said, well, hey, let's spend time in the Word. And I was like, let's have a quiet time. I didn't know what a quiet time was. I mean, you know, back at our youth group, we never mentioned the term quiet time. I didn't even know what that meant. So I thought, all right, this is kind of weird. Not only are these people creepily nice, but now they're going to want me to like spend time quietly in a room, in a dark room, and like look around. Like Kyle and I are going to look at each other and have a quiet time. You know? And it was kind of weird, and I was like, I don't know, I'm really not feeling this. But I went ahead and decided to just do it. And I had my Bible because I figured he told me to bring a Bible. But Kyle also had like a pen, he had notes, he had all this stuff, he was writing down stuff. And I said, well, this is a little excessive. I mean, come on, we're just reading the Bible here. We don't need to be taking notes, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is getting a little weird for me. But then the next day, Kyle and I got back together, and he's like, do you remember what we talked about? And I was like, intimacy with Christ. I couldn't really tell him really what we talked about or what we read about, and it was kind of discerning, and I was like, man, this really makes a difference. And I think my perspective at the time was I wanted to have God meet me where I was. And I think when you think about relationships in general, it takes both people to come together to work through it. And so I wanted to say, hey, God, put on this show for me. I'll be the audience. I'll watch. You show me these great things, and I'll just chill. Just show me what you need to do. You know, just show me. Just show me. I'll do it. And I think that was obviously the wrong approach for me because I really didn't get much out of it. And I think the worst part was I wasn't really focused on the actual relationship with God and really listening to Him. I just wanted to be talked to. So I would encourage you, if you don't have something to write with or something like a notebook or a journal or something, to really write down notes, largely because you will forget it. How many of you think about your favorite class that you had this semester, okay? It's your favorite class. Think about what your professor said last class, okay? You probably have a good idea. Then how about the class before and the class before? See, we don't remember that stuff because we don't write it down. If we write it down, it's in our notebook somewhere, but it's because we're supposed to do it, not because we want to. A lot of times it's because we need to make that A rather than actually learn the material. So when and where? The first thing I would say is find a place where you can be alone with God. Luke 5:16 talks about how Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. That sounds kind of odd, and I know Austin and I were talking last night about how weird it must be for the disciples to always, you know, think, "What, Jesus, what are you doing? You know, like, this is just out of character. You know, we were worried about you. Where are you?" So I would definitely recommend finding a place where you can be alone with God. I know a lot of you have roommates in college, and sometimes that can be hard if they're blaring music and stuff like that. But there are study rooms around. There are outside locations and venues. And I think if you can find a place where you can just zone in with God and spend that time with God, you're free of the distractions of the world. That second one there, if you want to turn with me to Mark 1:35, if somebody wants to read that.
Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed.
All right, don't raise your hand, but think about it. How many of y'all slept in today? Yeah. All right. Yeah, we all were tired tonight, or this morning, actually. We were tired last night, too. I think about this. Something that I struggled with this summer is I was trying to find a time during the summer to do quiet times, and I had normally done it in the morning, but I found this really great niche. See, I was working at a summer camp this summer, and I was working with three-year-olds. I was counselor for three-year-olds, and about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we have nap time for an hour and a half. I'm like, this is sweet, and put them down for nap. They get settled in about 15 minutes, and I can spend some time in the Word. But after a while, you know, Julia had to go to the bathroom, you know. John Michael had to get a drink. John Michael had to get another drink, another drink, another drink. You know, somebody went to their bed. Somebody was behaving, things like that. And I got interrupted so much that I was like, you know, this really is not working. I need a time where I can devote time to God fully and not be distracted by the things that I need to do without that. So that didn't work out too well. I thought it would. I would say really just find a time and a place where you can really devote just spending time to God. And I know a lot of us don't like to get up in the morning, but I like to think of it this way. If we get up in the morning before the world needs us, nobody else needs us but ourselves and God. So if you can get up and the world's not knocking at your door yet, that's the perfect time to do it, because I guarantee you, and all of you know this, the world will be knocking at your door for the rest of the day. and late into the wee hours in the night, especially if you're in film school. So that will be something like that. The next thing is what a typical quiet time looks like. Like I said, there is no mold, there is no way, specific way to do it, but I think it's good to start with a prayer. If somebody wants to open up to Psalm 145:18, and somebody else open up to Isaiah 55:6, and just read those two aloud, please. Kind of go Old Testament here. Who's got Psalm 145?
The Lord is near to all the calling, to all the calling of the Lord.
All right, and who's got Isaiah 55:6?
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
Yeah, so I think it's always good to start with a prayer as a time to really get away those distractions. I know it's early in the morning and your mind may be fresh, but I know we all tend to have a lot of things on our minds, so I think it's a good time to just, you know, open up your hearts to God, listen to Him, and just get ready to delve into His Word. The next thing, choose a passage of Scripture and read through it at least a couple of times. Joshua 1:8, which is on the bottom here, one of the topical memory system verses on the Word. We'll talk about that a little later. But basically this idea of meditating on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And I think a lot of times, kind of like watching a movie. My favorite movie is It's a Wonderful Life, and I love Jimmy Stewart. I love the George Bailey story. The first time I watched it, I think I was like 5, and I was like, this is my favorite movie ever. So good. But the more times I watched it, the more I got out of it, and the more times I got out of it, the more I could repeat it, and I can say lines, and if you asked me anything about It's a Wonderful Life, I could probably tell you more than you need to know. But that's kind of how I think we should view sometimes when we read the Scripture. I think, you know, when I, early on with Kyle, I'd read it once and I'd be like, all right, this is it, you know, I got it, you know, but I really didn't. And so I think it's good to read through a couple times. Just, you'll find things you missed the first time. God will reveal different things to you each and every time you read it. So I think that's a good place to start. The next thing, let the Word speak to you and discern what God is showing to you. If you want to make a correction here, this is not Hebrews 6:12, it's Hebrews 4:12. So if you want to turn to Hebrews 4:12, I'll go ahead and read that. But that's Hebrews 4:12, not Hebrews 6:12. Last night when I was going through this, Hebrews 6:12 says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what he has promised." And I was like, that doesn't fit. I was like, what was I trying to say here? So I found it. It was Hebrews 4:12. I'm pulling a Dave here, as Dave was saying earlier. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so this idea that the Word of God is living and active, I think a lot of times, especially if we're tired in the morning, we may think, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can make through this. I'm going to need some coffee. Maybe you're in Exodus or Numbers and you're like, what is this genealogy? Why is it so long? Who are all these names? What are all these towns? Why is this relevant? But here it says the Word of God is living and active. And sometimes I think, I know in my life, I don't really view it as such because I'm so concerned about, you know, well, this isn't doing anything for me. But in actuality, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. And I think a lot of times when I think about it, you know, we're the ones that are dead in a sense. Like, the Word of God is very living and active. We're not in a culture today where we die for our faith. We're not in a culture today where we get stoned for standing up for Christ. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things in this Bible and a lot of it, the things that some of these people went through is very radical, something that we don't even know about. Even things of war, you know, we have no idea what that's like. And yet we like to think we're the ones living and active with our iPods and cell phones and Facebook. So I would just encourage you to really look at how you view reading the Word. Next thing is take something or some things from the passage that God shows you and apply it to your daily lives in a way that is measurable, attainable, and specific. Now, there are many ways to do this. This is basically an application applying what you've read in the verse. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. And I think a lot of times, especially early on, I read it, I understood it, but I didn't really apply it to my life. Now, what do I mean by specific? Well, let me give you an example of what not specific is, okay? Growing in my relationship with Christ. That's great. That's a great place to start. But how is that specific? How are you going to actually make steps toward making that an actual goal? Attainable. What do I mean by attainable? Let's say you want to memorize all 60 verses of the TMS pack in a week. That's a nice goal, and you should go for it. You might want to drop out of school for a week. But that's not really attainable. And so just thinking about what is something that I can actually do, that I can measure, that I can actually attain and actually do within the time frame that I'm seeking to do this. And the other thing is measurable. What is it? What do I mean by measurable? Well, let's say my application is to evangelize to students on campus. Thinking about that, like, well, okay, how many? Do you have a set goal? You know, is there a certain amount of people you want to talk to today? Is there a place you want to go to? How is it measurable? So I think when we think about, you know, listening to God and having a relationship with Him, a lot of times, for instance, when two friends meet and they have a conversation and they want to work things out amongst each other, they come away with a resolution, something that they're going to change about themselves and something that they're going to do. Well, I'm going to be a better friend, or I'm going to, you know, not talk so bad to, you know, this person when we're in conversation, stuff like that. And then finally, if you want to turn with me to 1 John 5:14 through 15, and just jump out and read that.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him.
Yeah, that's good. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I think a lot of times, I know in my life, that's what I tend to do. God, help me do well on this test. Help me get through this sickness. Help me do things like that. Help me, you know, make this car situation better. But in reality, though, we have a wonderful God who tells us that we can come to Him in confidence. God is so much greater than we are. We are nothing. We are just a mere speck, and yet God wants us to come to Him with confidence. In seeking that. So I think it's always good, too, to just close out with a prayer. You don't have to, but I think it's a great way to just kind of wrap up, you know, the fact that you've opened up, spent time with God, spent time in His Word, really studied the Word, understood it, made an application to your life, and then really just kind of wrap that up. So here's a basic quiet time template. Sometimes during quiet time is as easy as ABC. The first one, A, is ask. Ask God to be with you in prayer. That's the opening up in prayer. Some people also use a theme, you know, like for a theme, but they also like to just kind of get things rolling. Like, what is this passage about? B is best verse. You either pick out a verse that either speaks to you personally or one that you think best summarizes the text. But that's a time for you to really look through the Word and see, what is this all about? You know, what is God speaking to me personally? Because you're starting out, you're saying, hey God, open up this Word to me, open up this Bible, and you're kind of narrowing it down in a sense. You're kind of finding out best verses, kind of like picking out, what is God speaking to me? And then C would be the challenge. That's the thing that you're really pinpointing in your life. What is God asking you to do today? What is your application? And so, these two verses here, topical memory system verses on the Word, I just want to make a note about 2 Timothy 3:16. We talked about Joshua 1:8, but the fact that all Scripture is God-breathed, and I think that's a good example of how the Word comes to us. Think about why we have a quiet time, how to have a quiet time. But this Bible right here, you know, this is God-breathed, and He communicates to us. If you think about the wheel, you have Christ in the center, and God breathes down the Word to us. And we lift our hands up to Him in prayer. That's why you have those vertical parts of the wheel there. All right. I want everybody to close their eyes for a couple minutes. Just close your eyes. I want you to think. Just clear your thoughts of what's going on right now, or if you feel hot or cold, or what's going on in your life. I want you to think of a person. Just picture that person in your mind. This person is somebody that you love, somebody that you enjoy spending time with, somebody here on this earth, an actual human, whether it's your spouse or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your best friend, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. Think about that person. What are they like? What do you do with them? What about them makes you happy? What about them makes you feel joy? Think about that person for a bit. Think about the times that make you happy with them. Keep thinking about that person and just kind of put it to the side, okay? I want you to think of a place now. Think of a place that you absolutely love to go to, your favorite place in the whole wide world. What is it like? Is it inside, within a structure? Is it outside? Are there trees, plants, animals? Is it hot? Is it cold? How does this place make you feel? Think about that for a bit. And put that to the side. Still think about that person, that place. Why don't you think about a food that you really enjoy. A food, think about the taste of it, what it tastes like. Think about the texture of the food. Is it hot? Is it cold? What does it taste like? Put that to the side. I want you to think about a sound or a type of music or a song that you really identify with or just really, really get you going in the morning, makes you happy. What is that song? What is it about? If it's a song, what do the words say? If it's a sound, what about that sound makes you happy? And I want you to think about that and put that to the side. I want you to think about a smell. What is one of the greatest smells in the world? Is it the smell of warm chocolate chip cookies? Or is it the smell of a candle? What does that smell like? How does that make you feel? And then I want you to think about one more thing. I want you to think about something that you can touch. One of the greatest feelings you've ever had in touch. What does it feel like, the thing you're touching? Is it warm? Is it soft? Is it cold? I want you to think about all those things. What is this person, this place, this food, this sound, this smell, this touch that makes you so happy? Think about those things. What would it be like to experience all of those at the same time? Okay, if you want to go ahead and open your eyes, but go ahead and keep thinking about that. Zach and I were talking last night. We were out on the beach. Zach was already out there, and we sat down, and I was like, you know, what have you been talking about, Zach, and what have you been thinking about? And he was like, oh, just, you know, how great creation is, and how great the whole landscape of the beach is. And he said, you know, the water is an interesting place because it's deep, it's unknowable, it's scary. You know, and he said, it's something I can't tame. And I said, you know, that's a good point. Looking at the water there, when we think about ourselves as humans, we've tamed the land. We've tamed everything about the land. We've tamed humans. We've tamed animals. We've tamed everything about the land. But the one place on earth that we can't seem to tame is that big ocean. We can use it. We can get on a boat and we can ride in it. But we have not tamed that ocean. It's the one part of the world we can't really tame. And just thinking as the waves just crashed up on the shore there, just this idea, you know, I said it reminds me of our situation without Christ. The idea that there's this water, there's this wave that's pushing us, that's keeping us on land, that's saying there's this wide unknown chasm that you can't get to because God's way over there. And there's this huge chasm that's kind of keeping us away, keeping us at bay into what we know best. And so I thought, you know, this is, to me, I saw it as a way of this empty chasm that things have, and the waves just pushing us back toward land. And Zach said, well, I think of it very differently. He said, because even though you see those waves crashing towards you and pushing you back toward land, there's also an undercurrent that goes underneath it. And it kind of draws you out there. He said, you know, that's kind of like what coming to Christ is all about. It's this idea where, you know, as one who doesn't see it, a non-believer and a believer can see something completely differently. And metaphorically speaking, this ocean, it's this idea that God draws you out there into this vast unknown land. He says, come with me. Yes, it's scary. Yes, you don't know where you're going sometimes. But you have to have trust in God. And he takes you out to this place that you can be. And so Christ really is bridging that gap, that ocean, that unknown space, that vastness that we strive to get toward. And so when you think about all these things, this person, this place, these things like that, God created all of that. And God wanted us to experience these people, these places, these times, because that is just an inkling of the greatness that he wants to show us with him every day. And so I've been really challenged to think about what is a quiet time sometimes to me. Sometimes it's early, it's boring, it's hard to get into it. But then I think about those times where I've really just enjoyed everything, and just to think about what would it be like to spend time with God in that sense, where everything about it, the sight, the smell, the taste, the atmosphere, the place, the person, God, three in one, what would that be like? And so this last part here, I just have questions to ask yourself about your quiet times from time to time, because I know sometimes I get in a routine, and it's more about the routine than it actually is the relationship. And so I think that first question there, is there anything in the way that is keeping me from meeting daily with God? And I think perhaps the biggest offender is time. I think we are in a world where we always say, if we only had more time, we would get a lot more done. And I think that's really true. And so I think time can be our biggest enemy, especially in college when we think we have time, but then we get involved in this or do this or volunteer to do this, and everything just comes in the way before God. What steps can I make, or what steps can I take to make time for God on a daily basis? I think that's especially important now. We're in a new situation. We're a month in to college. Maybe you had a way of meeting with God last year, and maybe this whole new schedule is not working for you and kind of messing you up. How do I view my quiet times with God? And I think on top of that, what is my purpose in meeting with God every day? Is it for self-gain? You know, is it because you're in a mold, or you have to do it, or somebody told you you should do it? Or is it, like Dave said, a time where you can meet with God and say, God, I want to know you? I think the next one, am I trying to do what the Word says and not just listen to it? I think this goes back to James 1:22. You know, am I applying this to my life? I think this last one here, is there anyone that I can encourage to spend time in the Word daily? Maybe you have a friend that doesn't spend time in the Word, that loves God, that Jesus is their Savior, but they don't know where to start next. Or maybe you have a friend that, you know, kind of just fell by the wayside. Time got the better of them, and they've just been too busy. And then that last question, is there anyone that I can spend time in the Word with? And I think today what we're going to do, I created a little... quiet time here. On the first page, on the front, is the one we'll do today. We're going to break up into partners, preferably somebody that you don't know, and we're going to have a quiet time. Today's quiet time is going to be over Acts 2, 42 through 47. Bryson's going to be talking about community tonight, so I thought we'd gear our quiet times around community. And this is basically just an outline to help guide you through the process, what a basic ABC is like. I wrote some questions down there to kind of guide you along the process, but I would encourage you to go beyond what's on the paper. I would encourage you to go beyond the questions that I have written down. And so at this time, I think we'll break up into groups, just partners. So find somebody you don't know that you want to have a quiet time with. We'll spend about 30 minutes, right, Luke? 30 minutes. We'll spend about 30 minutes and then come back here and we'll have a sharing time, okay? And then tomorrow, the other quiet time is on the back of the page in 1 Corinthians.